About 6 years ago, my wife and I began to have a conversation, and she was not very nice to me. We're in a season, mid-30s, kind of like cruise along in life, and in my mind, let's cruise, let's have a good time, and I never really was thinking about my physical body. And one time she was sitting across from me, and she said, "Hey, Brent, when are you going to start taking care of yourself?" And I thought, well, that's rude. You can mind your own business, thank you very much. And she asked that question because it was in a season where, life is getting busy. Just recently, my father had been really sick and ended up, he was going to pass away, and he didn't take a lot of really good care of his physical body. And she was just asking me a question, trying to say, "Hey, I want to be married to you for a long time. Why don't you take care of that, big boy?" And I was like, fine. So I got, in my mind, I got down what was she was getting, and I got a vision. All right, look, I do need to take care of myself. I grew up as a music nerd, and so I never really lifted weights, can you tell? And that was not really my gig. And so I've been, for the first time in my life, started going to the gym and really enjoying it. For a couple years, really began to grow and love where I was working out and all that sort of stuff. And so that happened. And about 4 years ago, we moved to Ankeny, and we had lived in Waukee. It was a part of a gym. And in the midst of that transition, we were living in Waukee, selling a house. I was driving here. Life just got crazy. New job, new responsibilities. And kind of for about a month or two, the gym got thrown out completely. And so by the time we got into our house, I was like, look, I'm going to go back to the gym. And so I go, I have a new gym. I know nobody in that place. It's 5:15 in the morning, and I'm not excited to be there. Has anybody been that way at the gym before? So I'm out there one morning, and it was a workout. It was really hard. Part of this workout was that you were going to run. Like, you did a lot of stuff inside the gym. Then you went around, and you ran around the gym. And it was multiple laps, so probably half a mile, something like that. And somewhere in the middle, I was like, I'm done. I ain't having fun. I don't like this. And so, have you any self-talk when you're working out? And as far, Matt talked about running last week. And so I'm running, and I literally, in my mind, I'm having a plan around the circle. I was like, look, nobody knows me. If I walk out, they're going to judge me, but they don't even know me, so the judgment doesn't even count. So I'm going to get my bag. I'm going to get my car. This is stupid. Why am I working out? Why am I struggling like this? It's early. I want to go home. And I'm just talking to myself, trying to figure out a way to not be embarrassed from walking away and be like, I'm done. And I remember where I'm at. It was like God was just really kind to me. And I'm like, why am I doing this? It's so stupid. And in a moment, I remembered why I'm doing it. Why I'm doing it. The vision of why I would do that. Here it is. I want to be able to hang out and play with my grandkids. Something that my dad never got to do. He never got to play with his grandkids. And he wanted to. And I thought, you know what? That's worth it. And I quit complaining and I kept running. And here's the thing. This happens to us a lot. We see a vision of something and we're really excited about it. Oh man, I'm going to be in good shape. I get it. And then the sacrifice of being a part of that vision comes along and you just want to give up. We've all struggled with this. Maybe it's not at the gym, but I think of it this way. Maybe you went to college. You're like, oh man, I want to major in this and I want to do this. And you're super excited about the vision of college. And then all of a sudden your first round of finals came and you're like, ooh, that's a lot of sacrifice. I think of about in marriage. And in fact, even standing on this stage, I get a really close up eye view. I look at the eyes of people who are saying, yes, I want to be committed to you. I want to start a life. And they have all these visions. You can just see it in the gleam of their eyes. But then I also see it in one of the offices or wherever we find in this building to hang out. And there's tears coming down because the sacrifice of marriage has kicked in. And like, dang, that's hard. With parenting, like, ooh, we're gonna have a family. And then you realize that they scream through the night and they cost a lot of money. And you're like, that's a lot of sacrifice. And honestly, I feel like we're in this season of our church. When we come in here and we talk about unfinished and we look at the vision of what we believe God has given us to not just reach this community, but to have a place that starts other churches and reach the world around the globe. When we look at that unfinished vision, I think most people come into this room and they're like, that's legit. I believe in it. Let's go. You guys have come back to us. You're excited. But there's also the moment when we step into this vision where we see the vision, we start going, whoa. There's going to be a sacrifice for us to be a part of that. And it gets a little scary. It might look like this. Yesterday, was working on our finances for February, and I called my wife and I said, hey, babe, look at this spreadsheet. This is where I think we can get with unfinished. And as we're talking about that, as we're talking about how we can give sacrificially to this church, there's literally tears involved as we're saying, whoa, can we do this? I think that's where we're at as a church. And I think God's word should give us some guidance in that. Because we're gonna pick up a story this morning about the people of God when they see the vision of God. And we're gonna see how they moved past that fear. And they moved into contributing willingly to what God had put in front of them. So we're gonna be in Exodus chapter 35, if you wanna flip with us. Exodus chapter 35. Before we start, we'll catch up in 35, but I wanna give you Exodus 25, where God gives the vision of what's supposed to happen to Moses. And it says this in Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9. And they're to make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them. You must make it according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle as well as the pattern of all its furnishings. God comes to Moses in Exodus 25 and he says, this is my command. Go make a sanctuary so that I can meet with you. He gives a vision of a tabernacle is what it's called, of this sanctuary. What's interesting is unfinished is similar in that we're asking God to raise up the finances to build a new facility to carry out this unfinished vision in our lives. And so in Exodus 25, God gives Moses the vision. And then in Exodus 35, Moses shows up to the people of God and he tells them the vision. So this is Exodus chapter 35, verse starting in verse 4. And then Moses said to the entire Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take up an offering among you for the Lord. Let everyone whose heart is willing bring this as the Lord's offering, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen and goat hair, ram skins dyed red and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx with gemstones to mount on the ephod and breastpiece. So Moses now comes to the people. He's like, listen, God's commanded us to make a sanctuary for him, and this is how we're going to do it. And what we see is when Moses shows up, his goal is honestly what our goal has been. And we didn't plan this, but just looking at this text as we're going to preach, the primary goal for Moses is 100% participation. He looks and he says, the entire Israelite community. He doesn't say the tribe leaders, the elders, this tribe and this tribe, the rich tribes and this tribe. He's like, everyone, all of them are to be there, and everyone whose heart is willing. Everyone whose heart is willing. Here's what's a crazy thing about God. God doesn't just always do. He is always inviting us to what he is doing. Here, look at this. The Red Sea, right? God could just, boom, open the Red Sea. God could equally just go, boom, tabernacle. He could have done it. No big deal. But he didn't. You know what he did? He didn't say, okay, now there's a national tax and every person needs to come and bring this percentage. What he does is he invites people into what his vision is. This is a characteristic of God because he's so relational with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to involve us in his work. It's true from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's the character of God. And he tells them to bring an offering from gold to onyx to cloth to everything. Bring your offering. And so the people of God respond to this call by Moses. So look at it beginning in verse 20. Then the entire Israelite community left Moses' presence. You need to know this. Every pastor who goes through a generosity initiative like this, this is their worst nightmare. The entire Keystone community left Brent's presence. Right? That's funny for y'all. It's real for me. But look at verse 21. It keeps going. Everyone whose heart was moved and whose spirit prompted him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting. For all its services and the holy garments, both men and women came, all who had willing heart. Not just did Moses invite the people, we see that the people responded with 100% participation. The entire Israelite community shows up, everyone whose heart was moved. I hope that your heart is being moved by unfinished, that you're kind of mulling over in your brain how God would want. And this is also incredibly powerful, both men and women. In ancient literature, women are not mentioned often, unfortunately. But what we see here is that the entire Israelite community, everyone's involved. Everyone is bringing their possessions and their skills to the thing. It's so much that he's mentioning that men and women are both in there. And they had willing hearts. This wasn't a tax that they were forced to show up with. They showed up with a willing heart to be a part of it. And then look what happens. Verse 22, both men and women came. All who had willing hearts brought brooches, earrings, rings, necklaces, and all kinds of gold jewelry. Everyone who presented a presentation offering of gold to the Lord, everyone who possessed blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, fine linen or goat hair, ram skins dyed red or fine leather brought them. Everyone making an offering of silver or bronze brought it as a contribution to the Lord. And everyone who possessed acacia wood, useful for any task in the work, brought it. Every skilled woman spun yarn with her hands and brought it, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts were moved spun the goat hair by virtue of their skill. The leaders brought onyx and gemstones to mount and the ephod and the breastpiece, as well as the spice and oil for the light, for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. So the Israelites brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts prompted them to bring something for all the work that the Lord through Moses had commanded to be done. We see this 100% participation. No matter what you possess, no matter what your skill is, everyone brought it together. They presented what they possessed. Everyone had different possessions, but they presented it, from gold to fine linen, silver, acacia wood, goat hair, onyx, gemstones. Seriously, goat hair? Whatever. But this gifting, all these possessions that they brought, was a lot. In fact, Exodus 38 tells us how much it was. This is Exodus 38, 24. All the gold of the presentation offering that was used for the project in all the work on the sanctuary was 2,193 pounds according to the sanctuary shekel. That's a lot of gold. 2,193 pounds. If it's 14 karat, modern day rates, it would be $32 million in gold. If it's pure gold, it would be $55 million in gold. The people bring this. That's not including the linens, the bronze, the silver, the goat hair, whatever. What's the fair market value of goat hair these days? Anyone got a clue? And they willingly contribute what they possess. And I believe this is where you and I get hung up. Because, like, when I'm running around the building and you just see the vision, but then you start feeling the sacrifice, you just want to stop sometimes. And when we start thinking about unfinished, we're like, yeah, I see the vision, but sometimes we get stuck when it comes to willingly contribute, because the people of God moved from here's the vision to willing contribute. And here's the question, how did they do it? And here's what I believe. Your willingness to contribute is directly related to where you think your possessions come from. I want to say that again. What your willingness to contribute is directly related to where you think your possessions come from. Let's look at the people of Israel to see what's going on here. To look at the history of the people of Israel, here's what you need to know. At this point in their lives, they should be broke. About 500 years before this exact text was happening, the Israelites had to leave their home place and go to Egypt because there was a famine in the land and they were starving. Remember Abraham? They're up there in the Palestinian area and they're starving because there's a massive famine. They have to leave there and go down to Egypt and beg for provisions. And when they get there, Egypt gives them some possession or some provisions, some food. But eventually, because they gave them so much, the Israelites end up slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. That's a lot. Like twice almost the length of a country. We've been a country 250-ish years. For 400 years, they were slaves to the Egyptians. You're not rich when you're a slave, ladies and gentlemen. So they were starving, begged for food, been slaves for 400 years, and now they've left Egypt and they're in the middle of the desert. They're refugees. They don't even have enough anything to survive. God has to give them manna and quail for them just to survive. They're broke. Where did this come from? Exodus 3 tells us. But when I stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, those are the plagues against Pharaoh, that I will perform in it, after that he will let you go, speaking of Pharaoh, and I will give the people such favor with the Egyptians that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. Each woman will ask her neighbor and his women staying in her house for silver and gold jewelry and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters, so you will plunder the Egyptians. When they're in Egypt, before they sent out from Egypt, God says, look, I'm going to make you favorable to the Egyptians. And when you ask for stuff, they're just going to give you all their things. And you're going to walk out of there, and it's basically like going to be like a plundering. And so when they're in the desert, they have all of these resources, and it's not because they had them of themselves. It's because God had given them their own resources, and they knew it. God, all their possessions had come from God's provision. Every single one of them. And this is where it starts getting into some application for us. I hope that you've come to a point in your life where you realize that all of your possessions are from God. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that you have not received? And the answer is nothing. The job you have, the relationships that you have, the education that you are fortunate enough to give, the inheritance that you may receive. Anything that you have, any skills, any traits, any knacks for a certain type of profession, that is all a gift from God. God has given you every possession that you have. And here's another interesting thing, right from this text, we all have different possessions. We all have absolutely different possessions. Some have gold. And even in this room, some of you are a type of people that have gold. In fact, was living in Ankeny, it's a higher percentage than the rest of the world. Some of us in this room have gold. Maybe that's the income because of the job that you have. Maybe one day early in your life, or even right now, you made a very wise investment and you have gold because of the investment you made. Maybe it's property. Maybe it's an inheritance. It's a windfall in business. I don't know what it is, but there are some of you sitting in this room that are gold type of people. There's other sides on the opposite side of gold. There's some in this room that are goat hair type people. You're like, all I got's goat hair. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my finances, but it's nothing. And you're goat hair. And even your goat hair, even your small income, even how small and you feel like you're just so broke, everything you have is still a possession from God. And here's what's crazy. It doesn't matter if you're a gold person in this room or a goat hair person. All of us are to bring what we possess with willing hearts before the Lord. What's crazy is in God's kingdom, he doesn't actually look at the amount. He looks at the sacrifice. And as we move into unfinished, here's what I know. There's going to be radically different amounts that people in this room will give towards unfinished. But what I'm hoping is that we are equal in the sacrifice that we push forward in that. When I think of this, I've said this a bunch of times. I really believe, SALT students, a lot of you are in here. I believe that a SALT student, it'd be more sacrificial for a SALT student to give $2,500 to this initiative than to someone in our church to give $1 million. And it doesn't matter because the issue is sacrifice. So I want to be really practical with this today. I want to help you think about your possessions as it would move to this, because there's a real initiative with the real dates coming up. On February 9th is an advanced commitment night, and February 23rd is commitment Sunday. And so I want you to help you think about that. When you come into those days, we're gonna have a commitment card. And I hope that you're wrestling in your soul with what you would be. And so there's a little top part of this. It's just a worksheet for you to kind of fill out. And the first line here is what you would normally give in a year. What would you normally give? That's an easy number for me. It's my income times my percentage. Boom, right there. It's easy for me to calculate. Some of you, you don't have a what you would normally give. And for the first time, and we're rejoicing with you, you're going to write a number in that box. And then the next box, it says, our expanded annual generosity. There's two levels of this. This box is for people who go, you know what, Brent? My initial, like what we give in a normal year is not near what it should be. We know we should change our lives to hit a different level. And there's some of you also in that, in this realm, where you're at home like me on my spreadsheet going, if we do this, if we do that, if we move this and this and this, if we make this, then we can, and you're trying to figure out how to expand your generosity. That can look by changing your lifestyle, earning more income. There's 1,000 ways, but that you would be strategic in saying, God, I want to expand my annual generosity to this. And then down here, there's a box, gifts from our stored resources. The Israelites represented that stored resources really well. They had gold, brooches, earrings, bronze, silver, goat hair, ram skin dyed red. Those were all stored resources for them. And they realized that it was all a possession that had been given to them from the Lord. And I honestly almost didn't want to pull this out this morning because I didn't want you to think, oh, here's a commercial, give all your money. I almost didn't do that. But here's the reason I did that. I show you because when we see Israel, we see they were broke. They had nothing. God gave them by favor all this material, whether it was gold to goat hair, out of Egypt. And God gave it to them so that they would be the build the tabernacle. And as we read through Exodus, we go, clearly God gave them all this stuff so that they could build the tabernacle. It's easy to see why they should give. But for us, it's way harder in our lives to make those connections. Let me give you an example just from my sinful self. You ready? This week was my birthday. And I got some birthday money. Let me tell you what I didn't say when I got my birthday money. I didn't say, God, this is your possession. How would you want me to spend it? I said, ooh, I got me some money. And that's what we do, isn't it? It's hard for us to connect. God, the possessions that you've given me is actually a provision to support your vision. And I'm hoping that that commitment card will help you think through some of your possessions. Because it's easier to contribute when you realize that all your possessions are from God. They bring all the possessions. Now let's read the results of what happens. This is now chapter 36, verse 3. And they took from Moses' presence all the contributions that the Israelites had brought for the task of making the sanctuary. Meanwhile, the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the people brought all their possessions and they contributed it to it. And all the skilled craftsmen go and they begin to build the sanctuary, the tabernacle. And the people of God are so generous that morning by morning, they keep bringing more and more stuff. And verse 4 says, then all the artisans who were doing all the work for the sanctuary came one by one from the work they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than is needed for the construction of the work the Lord commanded to be done. The workers come to Moses and say, Moses, we have a problem. And this just wasn't the one cranky worker. You know there's always one cranky worker, right? This is all the workers. They're coming like, Moses, you got to slow the roll. We can't handle all the resources that are coming our place. We got to get to work, get the people to stop. Verse 6, after Moses gave an order, they sent a proclamation throughout the camp. Let no man or woman make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. So the people stopped. The materials were sufficient for them to do all the work. There was more than enough. There was more than enough. This is how God's kingdom works. This is how it works. God gives a vision. He gives the provision to his people to make his vision happen, but they have to contribute willingly. This is in Exodus. We just went through the book of Joshua. Do you remember it? Here was the Jordan River. There was a vision, but they had to step by faith. Then we see Jericho. They had to walk around. They had to step by faith. If you look at Ezra to rebuild the temple, there was a vision. He gave the provision and they rebuilt it. Nehemiah building the walls around Jerusalem. You get all the way into the New Testament and God gave a vision to spread the gospel around planet Earth. And he gave the people the provisions to make it happen, but they had to step in and contribute willingly for it to go. This is the way the kingdom of God works. God's vision always includes his provision. We must contribute willingly. God's vision always includes his provision, but we must contribute willingly. So the question is, what does this have to do with you? Cool Bible story. Glad it worked out for Israel. Let's pull it today to you. So just think about what God could do with Israel. Let's begin to think about what Keystone he may want to do with Keystone. So here's a question for you. What is God asking you to contribute? What is God asking you to contribute? I hope that you'll sit silently with that question for a little bit. Do you understand the unfinished vision? Do you see it? Do you see the desire to continue to help people know and follow Jesus in this community and around the world? Do you believe and do you understand that every possession that you have is from God? If that's true, contribute willingly. What is God asking you to contribute? Because God's vision always, always, always includes his provision. We must contribute willingly. This is what we're doing with Unfinished. We're looking at what God has put before us, what we believe is leadership, a lot of discernment, compelled by the Spirit to continue this vision of reaching this community and beyond. And as we ask you, what are you going to contribute? Can you imagine just looking around this room, it'll be full four different times this morning. Can you imagine what God wants to do if each of us are asking that question of ourselves, how he'll use all of us, some with gold and some with goat hair, all willing to sacrifice equally? Can you imagine what he might want to do with us when we say, God, we see it. All of us, we do. We're going to come together. The entire Keystone community is going to come with willing hearts, and we're going to contribute. If we do that all together, I believe with all my heart, we will have more than enough. Because God's vision always includes his provision, and we must contribute willingly. Some of you are like, Brent, I get it. I don't know how to make that work in my real life. And I'm going to tell you, if that's you, every person who sacrificially gives has sit exactly where you're sitting right now. Every one of us. I want to show this video to show you how one couple walked through it.